For a faster, easier way to clean pots, pans, bathroom fixtures, change to Babbel, the amazing cleaner that dissolves grease. The makers of Babbel present Laura Lawton, the story of what it means to be the wife of one of the richest, most attractive men in all America. The story of the conflict between love and riches in a world so many dream of, but where so few dreams come true. Now, ladies, if you'd welcome a bargain in these days of high prices, here's how you may save money every time you buy a cleaner. Simply insist on Babbel, the grease-dissolving cleaner. For women in nationwide surveys, hail Babbel as the most economical cleaner of all. And the reason is simple. You see, Babbel was specifically created to dissolve grease. That's important. For today, 90% of your scouring is caused by grease. And because Babbel dissolves grease so quickly, you use less to get clean pots and pans, to make kitchen enamel and bathroom fixtures shine. Yes, Babbel lasts longer. So discover Babbel's wonderful economy. Today, get the green can with the big white letters, B-A-B-O, thrifty, grease-dissolving Babbel. And now, Laura Lawton. It was a very strange discussion Laura had with her husband, Peter Carver, when he came out of the coma into which he sank after learning that he is presumably guilty of a horrible murder. A discussion which gave Laura a sense of despair, since, in Peter, she recognized a new defeatism. Now, she's come back to the home of the superintendent of Hopewell, the hospital for the criminally insane where Peter is being kept. Mrs. Kenzie is sitting in the garden. And as she sees Laura approach, she says,
"There's a breeze, Laura. It's not a very big breeze, but it's enough to cool us a little bit.
The garden looks perfectly beautiful, Mrs. Kenzie.
Sit down, dear, and relax if you can."
"I think I can, now."
"Paul told me your husband had regained consciousness. How is he, Laura?"
"He's wonderful. Well, at least I guess that's what I should say about him. He seems to know what everything's all about. He makes very considered statements."
"You're puzzled by something, Laura?"
"Yes, I am. Puzzled and frightened, I think, because somewhere along the line in the dimness, Peter's lost his affection for me."
"Well, Laura, you would be the last person capable of judging that."
"I don't think so. I'm very sensitive to Peter's moods. I've always known just when he was happy and when he wasn't."
"But you can hardly expect him to be happy now, Laura."
"Oh, I didn't mean that. Mrs. Kenzie, Peter's been told about the murder and told about the need for his operation. He's accepted them quite calmly. But his mind is working furiously. He's weighing the whole situation carefully and thoughtfully."
"Well, that is to be expected too, Laura."
"Well, I think he's trying to discover which is the best thing to do in view of the murder, to accept the situation as it is, that he's been judged criminally insane, or to have the operation and face a complete new investigation and trial."
"It's a decision he has to make, Laura. I don't quite see how..."
"Well, I'm afraid that he'll make a gesture, Mrs. Kenzie. I'm afraid that he's going to decide to protect me and his sister Gail and his shipyard by staying here in Hopewell."
"Well, Laura, you can't possibly know what is in Peter Carver's mind."
"No, but I know Peter. He won't come to any decision that will serve as a protection to him. He'll arrive at it because it's best for me and the rest of the family."
"But the rest of the family is his sister, Gail McDonald, Laura."
"Yes."
"Well, surely he can't feel he owes her any loyalty. Why, even I know that when you took over the running of the shipyards, Gail McDonald's only concern was to get her stock out of it."
"I know, but Peter can overlook whatever Gail has done. She's his sister, and that's a very close tie."
"Closer than a wife?"
"I think to Peter it is. I think that Peter loves me, or did love me, very deeply. But actually, I've never felt that he feels for me the great sense of responsibility he has for Gail.
Well, you may not be right about that.
I know, but Peter's always known that I can make my own living, that I can survive. He doesn't know that about Gail. And he's been responsible for Gail since she was born. He brought her up.
Yes, I know, Laura.
I know you think I'm projecting altogether too much into the future, but I can't help it. I may be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.
What does Dr. Valancourt say?
I haven't discussed this with him. He was with your husband, so I came over here. I think he's going to talk to Peter about the operation again. I don't know. Anyway, I can wait. I've had good practice in waiting, you know. Remarkably good practice.
Dr. Randy Valancourt does intend to talk to Peter about his operation this morning. But unfortunately, Peter has plans of his own. He's writing a letter to his secretary, May Case, in Washington.
Dear May, once more I turn to you because I find myself quite alone on the verge of making a tremendous decision. You will have heard that I came out of the coma yesterday morning, and it was like being roused from a deep, relaxing sleep. Relaxing until the past began to crowd into my life, like gnomes and elves bustling into a tiny room. You see, I'm not as stable as they all think me. By dint of utmost control, I don't burst out into wild, maniacal laughter. Nor do I throw breakfast trays. Dr. Valancourt told me I threw one at Laura once. Did I really, May? And how do you account for Laura's fantastic devotion? Personally, I think it's a little silly of her.
And as Peter Carver writes to his old friend and secretary, May Case is talking with Gail's husband, Angus MacDonald. Angus is a little sheepish as he walks into the office, and May very gently tries to make him feel at ease.
Sit down, Angus.
How are you, May?
Well, just as perplexed and as worried as you are, Angus, so let's try to understand each other.
I'd like to, May. I'd like to very much.
Now, what is the meaning of this absurd letter you wrote me?
It wasn't easy to write.
It couldn't have been.
May, I love Gail, and I'm afraid I'm one of those people who lets his wife boss him, plan his life, build his career.
And it isn't a bad idea when the wife has some brains, Angus, but Gail hasn't. Angus, you were very happy here at the shipyards, but you let Gail tell you what to do. You went away. You left us when we needed you.
I've thought of that many times.
You puzzle me, Angus. If you thought of that many times, why in the world didn't you come back?
I wanted to try my own strength, May. I'm afraid I listened to Gail and I thought I was much more of a chap than I really am.
Would you come back now, Angus?
Very gladly.
Then come back. We'll be glad to give you a job. With Laura standing by with Peter at Hopewell now, we could use another hand here.
I'd like to come back, May, but...
But what?
Well, I've promised Gail to do something about her stock in the shipyards. She's lost it all, you know.
She didn't lose it, Anchor. She sold it to Laura for a very good price. Don't forget, when the shipyards were in their most precarious position, Laura bought up that stock with her marriage settlement, with every penny she had. Laura took a chance on the shipyards, not you, not Gail. It was Laura and Stephen Grant, who works here, and myself.
May I realize in what an ugly light I stand?
Then get out of it, Angus. Come back to us on a straight salary basis. And when you've earned the right to buy back Gale's stock, you'll get it, believe me.
But
I tell you, Angus, Carolyn Lamb will not buy that stock through Gale.
Gale...
Miss Lamb, hating Laura, as she does, has been clever enough to play on Gale's envy to make it appear that Laura is trying to rob Gale. And Gale, being stupid, believes all that. Angus, your duty to Gale is a very serious one. How can she ever become a good person if you indulge her hatreds and her unreasoning jealousy?
May, do you realize that Gail would leave me if I came back to work here at the shipyards?
I think she would, but I think she would come back, Angus.
May, Gail is determined.
Gail needs to be disciplined, Angus. Gail needs to learn compassion and understanding for Laura. I talked with Laura this morning. Do you know that she sat beside Peter's bed for 24 hours? Watching, waiting.
May, you know I'm very fond of Laura.
No, I don't know that, Angus. Your affection was of gossamer strength, I must say, when Laura needed you. When everyone was doubting the outcome of the shipyard, you left her.
I know, but...
Angus, I'm offering you your job back at the shipyard as a haven for you. We don't need you, Angus. We don't need you nor Gail, and certainly we don't need Carolyn Lamb. Now, think it all over, Angus. It isn't often that people get a second chance to be decent. Think it all over.
May Case wonders if she's been too positive with Angus MacDonald, whether she has overdone her lecture. And in the meantime, Peter Carver continues his letter to her, writing,
"They have all told me the truth, finally, May, about that hideous night when I killed Bessie Harris. And this doctor that Laura has so much faith in, Dr. Valancourt, tells me that it's only a matter of an operation, and he'll be able to prove to me what I did. Not a cheerful prospect, is it? I'm not giving my wife much of a future, am I? Nor my sister, nor anyone who is fond of me. And so, May, I'm going to tell you what I propose to do. It'll be interpreted differently by different people. But that doesn't matter. I feel I've reached the only decision I could make."
What is the decision Peter Carver has arrived at? How will it affect Laura Lawton? Now, ladies, here's a letter from a young housewife who learned to appreciate Babbo more than ever by being without it. She's Mrs. Doris Levine of Brooklyn, New York, and I quote from her letter, "I may be a young housewife, but I know my house cleaning, and Babbo is my lifesaver. How well I learned that recently when I was ill. My sister took over for me, and when my Babbo ran out, she bought something else. You should have seen the mess my pots and pans were in. The first day I took over my kitchen and bathroom again, I called my grocer fast for Babbo. Within a few minutes, I had the pots and pans and fixtures gleaming with no effort," unquote. Thank you, Mrs. Levine, for telling us your interesting experience. And ladies, once you try Babbo for cleaning pots and pans, bathroom and kitchen fixtures, you too will say it's a miracle cleaner, a time saver and a work saver. And here's the simple reason why Babbo can work wonders where less modern cleansers fail. You see, 90% of your daily scouring is caused by grease. It's grease that holds dirt to surfaces. And Babbo, unlike ordinary cleansers, was specifically created to dissolve grease. With grease dissolved, dirt and stubborn stains wipe away thoroughly, safely, easily. And so fast, you save precious time. Ladies, take a tip from the millions of housewives who do their cleaning the fast, easy way with grease-dissolving Babbo. Get Babbo today. B-A-B-O. Babbo. For extra convenience, get two cans. One for your bathroom, one for your kitchen. Laura Lawton will be on the air at the same time tomorrow. Ron Rawson speaking and asking you to remember that Laura Lawton is brought to you by Babbo, the grease-dissolving cleaner. So tune in tomorrow. And meanwhile, keep your kitchen spotless with Babbo. B-A-B-O.
Farmers, here is a free offer that may help you produce sturdier, heavier hogs, finer dairy products, more poultry, and better eggs. We have just published a 48-page book on low-cost farm sanitation. It's packed with simple, practical suggestions you'll use every day. Don't miss it. Send today for your copy. Write to Lycons, L-Y-C-O-N-S, care of this station. Ask for free Lycon's Farm Book.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning to This Is Nora Drake, heard over most of these stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.